here in church and read in the Old and New Testaments, and words that we read about in books written about these words, we may have a vague idea of what they mean. However, today we're going to look at why these words have meaning for each of us. Let's name a few. Spirit, God, Christ, soul, the big one, consciousness. It's in every book, every sermon, every conversation about this teaching. Presence, inherencies, grace, heaven, duality. And there are a lot more. And then we hear a phrase, as in mind, so in manifestation. As within, so without. Like produces like. The law of expression. Dr. Seale wrote, we walk out to meet our consciousness. These are English words, but they can be in the same category as a manual that is written to explain the use of some product manufactured abroad, and the manufacturer hired a translator, and he translated the words, but they don't have any meaning for the use of the product. They don't say how to turn it on or how to maximize its benefit. So this morning, you may be thinking, oh, all those words, that can be overwhelming. I need help now. Later, when I have free time, then I will devote time to learning about these words and phrases. Now, if you look in your program, you will see that the verse for Jeremiah was written, it was written about 600 BC. And the verse for Hebrews, chapter 8, was written in the first century after the crucifixion, in AD. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And in Hebrews, it says the same thing. Now, Hebrews may have been written by Paul, as he was a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee, and Pharisees were steeped in Scripture. And so whoever the author was cited this contract, this covenant, that God agrees to write his laws in our hearts, not just the people of that time, in us. This means that we already know what these spiritual words mean. When we get still and take our attention away from our troubles and the troubles going on out in the world. The meanings rise from our deepest self and show us how they can help. These words and phrases represent an understanding that's been known by spiritual seekers in all corners of the earth for thousands of years. When Craig was working on his doctoral thesis last week, he cited some of the references that he used from India. How do you pronounce it, Craig? Upanishads? Or? From China, Confucius. From Japan, there was Shintoism. Zoroastrianism from the Middle East. And thank goodness, Judaism, which became the forerunner, the basis, the foundation for Christianity to flower. These teachings have certain beliefs in common, one of which, from Craig's sermon last week, that there's more to us than we can see and hear. In our teaching, we base our interpretation, our understanding, on the same teaching that Jesus had, the Christ. This teacher taught P.P. Quimby, Emma Curtis Hopkins, Nona Brooks, Emmett Fox, Dr. Seal. And when we are receptive, it teaches us. All of us is inside each one of us. And it's active. And the most amazing thing is, it does the work when asked. And it does it through us. I'm going to interrupt a minute. Yes. Are you looking for your service? If not, welcome. This is Quimby Church. There's another church that meets after us about 2:00. This power, this inner power that teaches us, the most amazing thing is it does the work. Recently, I had 3 projects partially complete since May. They were on my desk every day I went in. That was my first priority. And then things got piled on top, and I never was able to complete it. Finally, I had had enough. And I said, there's nothing too hard for God. I give it to you. I can't do it on my own. I give these projects completely to you. And then I got busy just doing my work. And by the end of the day, all 3 were completed. As one of my teachers said, normally, naturally, in comfort, and with ease. It's as if there never was a problem. So what happened? It goes back to other people used this same source 3,000 years ago. In Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. The hills, the mountains, represent an understanding higher than what we see, what we feel. These people knew it, we know it. All of these words, Spirit, God, Christ, the Kingdom of Heaven, the Father within, all refer to this substance that is inside, outside, all around everything that is, that ever was, that ever will be. It is the potential for everything. And this substance is made of love. And it operates through love. A lawyer asked Jesus, "What are the most important commandments?" Jesus replied, "Love God with everything you've got. And love your neighbor as yourself." When we do that, we are receptive to the activity of God that is always flowing through us. When we call on God for help, we are aware that this formless, unconditioned substance made out of love and operating through love responds to that situation. It becomes food to feed the 5,000, sight for the blind, strength for the paralyzed man who had been by the pool at Bethesda for 38 years. This substance does not need our help to design the form. It just waits for us to know without a doubt that it exists. And then we can call on it. There's a way that we can block it. If we're busy judging others, basing our opinion on what our eyes and ears tell us, we can be trapped by our intellect and then react to our own judgment. And we can react by resisting, by suffering, by thinking something needs changing or improving. This is the fall of man. It was described in Genesis in the story of Adam and Eve. It's original sin, duality. It's thinking that something's missing, that we know better. And all the while, God, all good, provides everything for man's enjoyment. Is thriving. And when man starts judging that he knows a better way, a place where this God's substance is missing or lacking, that is how we separate ourselves from our good. It's still there. It's always active. It's always complete. It's our perception. And it's when we know without question that this good, beyond what we can imagine, is filling all creation, then we are giving a name to this formless, undifferentiated substance, and it expresses on earth as the highest good for all concerned. In summary, Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. He lived close to this inner substance. And he took average blue-collar working men and taught them to access this truth that was planted in our hearts and in our minds, and to allow it to bubble up, to come forth into their awareness as truth, as healings. And this teaching continued through these average men who became the disciples with these extraordinary results to continue the teaching. We are not here to change the world. We are here to know God as ever-present love, knowing that God moves through us, revealing the perfection that's already in the invisible realm, and gives us instructions for our role in where we are to influence the world. Our work in the visible world is led from within, and we become willing to follow this guidance. As to those words that I read at the beginning of today's sermon, they all mean more or less the same thing. It's the Father within that doeth the work. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's this inner power and presence. Spirit is a feeling, and it communicates in our minds as a still small voice. Emmett Fox said that communicating with the Spirit is like painting a picture on a cobweb. Sometimes we don't even know it's going on until we see this change in us. And the change in us allows us, as Dr. Seale said, we walk out to meet our consciousness. And when our consciousness is changed, is elevated, stops judging and reacting on a human level, then we walk out to meet a different set of circumstances and conditions. First within, then without. Our solutions are within. And as the Bible readings say, we already have all the information we need, all of the truth. And when we pray, we can invite it to come to the surface and decide we trust it. We don't know what's in the future. We know it's good. Let us pray. Dear God, we know that we are one with you. We ask that whatever we are to know and do becomes clear to each one of us. And we thank you. So it is. Amen.